punish Rabbi Kanis. Two but of Friday the 31st of July, Rabbi Shraga Kalas on a parsha theme.
I must tell you how much of a chalik of Torah way I am. How much of a chalik? I wasn't even asked to speak. I found my name on the sign. I wasn't even asked to speak. My kids told me last night, they said, Tati, you know you're speaking tomorrow morning. I said, Miss Tama. Look at the sign. There's my name, Parshas Vetzchon. You see, it's like, I'm such a chalik of Torah way. It's like, I'm good. You don't have to ask me. Such a chalik. I just wonder if in the middle of the year my picture was there one time. So the emphasis is that there's a lot of inyanim in this parsha. We'll try to focus on a few of the Shein Azachin, Zeh Shein Azachin. In Perek Dalet, Pasikov Zayin, it's a very interesting lashon over here. It talks about the Toichacha that we read on Tisha B'Av. Kisayle Banim Bifnei Banim Bifnei Shantem. Pasuk says, "Hadi doisi bechem, my goyim is shemayim is haaretz, abet habedim." Shrekacha, terrible, terrible toichacha. Then the pasuk says in Pasuk Chav Zayin, interesting logic. V'heit fitz Hashem etzchem ba'amim, v'nishartem misay misper. Hakadosh Baruch Hu will be mefitz us, and will be nishar misay misper. There won't be lots of us that remain. V'nishar. It's a very important idea. The lashon nishar, and excuse me on my throat, but the lashon nishar. And the Lashon Noitzer, the Malbim in many, many places, the Malbim in Melachim, the Malbim in Yirmiyahu, the Malbim in many places, discusses this Lashon Nishar. Nishar means to remain. Noitzer also means remain. And you find it in different places. HaNoisarim, you find it Noitzer, the Lashon of Noitzer. It says Noyach, Vayishar Noyach, Noyach, Vayivaser Yaikiv. When do we use the Lashon Nishar? When do we use the Lashon Noitzer? The Malbim, with his tremendous Havana's Tiktok, his tremendous understanding, he goes with this aside through literally Kalatar Kula. Every place it says Nisha, he explains why Nisha, Nisha, and says a tremendous aside. He says Nisha, oh, Shkech. He says Nisha, Baruch Atah Adei Noyel Yehidim Elech Eilam Shah Kol Nei Bitvonim. He says Nisha is somebody or something that remains with a tachlis. It was left over on purpose. Nisha is something that happened to be left over. Nice happened. Now with this, he goes through, literally call it Tarkula, which we won't do today, but he goes through, Vayivaser Yankev, he happened to have left, he explains, Vayishar Noyach. Noyach was left, he was the one person, not by accident that was left, he was left with a purpose. Noyach was left over for the purpose, to rebuild the world, go and rebuild. Noyser, when it comes to the Torah, a person leaves over by a korban, Noyser is to be burnt. Noyser is something without a tachlis. And that's how he explains this with many sides. By the Lashon and the Pasuk, we call the survivors, we call them Sheiris HaPleita. That's the Lashon, V'hamachana HaNisher L'Fleita. Nisher is with a purpose, Nisher is with a tachlis, it's on purpose. When it comes to the Lashon in Yirmiyah, it says those that went down to Mitzrayim, they were the Sheiris Yehuda. The ones that were left over with a purpose. That's the chilek between Nishar and over here. The great nechama is that in this toichcha, it says, v'nish'artem misay misper. And Emes, the Rabbi Michal Ber Weizmann, that I heard once from a certain survivor, told me every time that Rabbi Michal Ber would see him, he would tell him, he would say to him, gedenken, remember you're a survivor. And that was really the attitude of all the survivors, is that they were a nishar. There weren't people that were just happened to be left over. Each and every one was left over with a tachlis. Each and every one had a purpose. And you see, it's a merdik azav. Everyone knows the famous story with the Panovich Rav. And Panovich Rav was building Yeshivas Panovich in 1944 in the middle of the war. And so the famous story, somebody said to the Panovich Rav that you're dreaming. It's a very famous story, you're dreaming. And he talked that there'll be a yeshiva. So he said, yeah, aber schlifnisht. Very famous story, but I'm not sleeping. So I heard from Rav Leizer Kahneman, the son from Panovich Rav. He told me that there's an addition to that story that people don't know. He said that the person asked him, that it says that 1,000 go into the base medrash and one comes out. 1,000 go in and one comes out. So where are you going to get your 1,000? You don't even have 1,000. You're building a yeshiva and you don't even have 1,000. Yeah, little did he know. But where are you going to get your 1,000? So he told him that he's making a mistake. He told him, with this he said from the Malbim. He told him, in the Zman of Nisher, we're in the Zman of the Sheiris HaPleita, we're in the Zman of Vinish Arta. this man of Nisha, there's different rules. He says, 1,000 will go in and 1,000 will come out. Because we need all of them. Every single one of them has a tachlis. Every single one of them has that ability to rebuild. And Mamela, that's the site. That's a tremendous nechama. Is that it's a different way of looking. The person, when you look at our door, and you see how our door, we have a different nesyonis. You see, it's the Erech Yidden that survived in our door, all the different nesyonis. You have to tell this to the children also. That they're the nisha. The person goes through life with that mission, that he's a nisha. Sorry?
Those people who survive what?
The people in our door. The children of our door.
Our door.
Door.
It sounds like a door. Now, the people of our door, they have the different nesyonos that survive and they remain in Erech Yid in our door. They remain in Erech Yid in our door. Such a person also, he has to go through life with that understanding that he's a nisher. He's not a noiser. I tell you one interesting story before I go weiter. My Zayder was nifty years ago. He was also a survivor. And my father came to Eretz Yisrael to bury his father. And we have a great uncle that lives in Netanya who went off to Derech after the war. Really, the family didn't have much shaykhus to. I myself never met him except for that one time. When my father, when we went to after the shivas, my father decided he was going to go just to visit my uncle. And he was Alter Yid also at the time. And just to tell him what happened and just not to visit him. I hadn't met him ever before. When we came in there, so I was dressed like a yeshiva bacher. I was a yeshiva bacher, and father was the balabas. But we walked in. He didn't say a word to us. He just kept staring at me up and down. He had never met before. He said to my father, asked him, how's he doing? And this and that. And he just sat there and didn't talk him out. He kept staring me up and down. Yeah. So then finally, my father said to him, Nivas Kikste, what's so interesting? So he said to him, Alle Kinder Zenin, I said, all the kids look like this. So my father said, well, not the girls. Not the girls. And it's Mamish with tears in his eyes. Altiyid, with tears in his eyes. He says, Mikdi was the Hungarian way they called my father, my Zayda. They called Mikdi. He says, then your father was right. And afterward, he told my father that after the war, he had no havamina that there would be. You know, they never have a mina that there would be Erlich Yidden, that there would be from Yidden, that there would be people sitting and learning, that there would be people that daven three times a day. Never have a mina. If I would have known, I never would have went. Yeah? So my father said to him, it's not too late. It's not too late. And I said, it's schon spät. It's too late. Yeah? But that was the tragedy, that there were some people that Nebuch, they weren't Zeiche, and they were Neusser, can't daven them for Shtetzach, but they were the Neusser. They were the ones that Neusser is to be burnt, unfortunately. But Nisha, the ones that remained with the Tachlis, the ones that remained and survived and rebuilt Yiddishkeit, what we see today, that's this Pasuk. That's Meshartem. That's number one. Now, in the Pesukim Vayter, in Perek Vav, is the Pasuk Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It's very important, Stam, just to reiterate once in a while, what's the Kavanah you're supposed to be having every morning when you say Shema Yisrael? You have to have Kavanah. This is the one place where Kavanah certainly is marked. So you have the Kavanah of Rashi for sure, okay. Hashem Elokeinu Ata, who's our God now. We understand the Ribbono Shel Olam existence, and we appreciate that Kadosh Baruch Hu Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Lasid Lava, everyone will know. Stam, Pashup Shat, you have to know these things. V'havto, Eis Hashem Elokecha. What's V'havto? Rashi says over here, Oyvid Me'avo. Stam, it's important to know this. You say this every single day, twice a day. Oyvid Hashem Me'avo, not Me'ira. The Rambam says a different thing. Rambam says a beautiful thing. Rambam says, this is the makor for the mitzvah of Kiruv. You ask a person, where's the makor for the mitzvah to be Makariv and Nachayid? Where's the makor? So the Rambam, a few places actually, but the Rambam says that it's from this pasuk, V'avto Eis Hashem Elokecha. When you love somebody so much, let's say a person loves his father. So what does he do? He doesn't just love his father. He wants other people to love his father. So he tells a funny story about his father. He says a gevaldik zach about his father. He says a gevaldik ches about his father. He wants people to, when you love someone so much, you want other people to love him. The mitzvah of V'avto Eis Hashem Elokecha is you have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much that you want other people to love him. It bothers you if there's somebody that doesn't love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'avto, make other people love him. It's one more idea over here. I think everyone knows, and I wonder what's the pshat. Everyone knows, b'chol avavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol medecha, b'chol mido amido, b'chol nafshecha, even if he's not al nafshecha, that's the kavanah he's supposed to be thinking. I'm willing to give up my life. But what's b'chol avavcha? B'chol avavcha, everyone knows, is b'shnei yitzrecha. What does it mean? With both your yetzers, your yetzer toiv and your yetzer hara. So I asked this to my children yesterday. What's the pshat? Mishnei Yitzrecha. With both of the Yetzer, the Yetzer Toiv and the Yetzer Hara. Yeah, so what does it mean? So everyone says different pshatach. But the one pshat that I think really stims in the Lashon, Shnei Yitzrecha, means it means you have to get the Yetzer Hara to be working on the other team. I can do that. The Yetzer Hara on the other team. So it's Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, when they asked him this shayla, he said, sometimes you see the Yetzer Hara, he fights and he fights and he fights so hard against something. Like the Chofetz Chaim used to say, he said, he'll let you do chesed and meis and toivim all day, but I'll be not a blat gemara. You know, when it comes to a blat gemara, there's so many things going on in the world. So you see the Yetzer Hara, he fights so hard about this thing, or he fights about that, he fights about specific things. So if you see the Yetzer Hara is fighting so hard about that thing, he works his hardest, that's how you know that's important. And that's b'shnei Yitzrecha. Fight him with the Yetzer Hara. How do you fight him with the Yetzer Hara? Learn from the Yetzer Hara. You see, the Yetzer Hara holds that thing is so chashiv. So from that, you should go. It should be over. That's the place. That's where the Nisayan is. That's where I have to work harder. That's B'shnei Yitzrecha. I was thinking once I heard this pshat, that maybe the pshat is more than that. You see, B'Oyver Hashem with Shnei Yitzrecha. When you see how resilient the Yetzer Hara is, he doesn't give up. He's the Betz Chavrusa. He comes 5 minutes early to the Seder. He's always, Mamash, he always has what to say. He always has an answer back. When you learn, you can learn from the Yetzer Hara how resilient he is. But Shnei Yitzrecha, the person is over the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shnei Yitzrecha. So that's a banda. That's a banda. A gevaldik avodah. Now the pasuk says, "Hazei." It says in pasuk Yigimel, "As Hashem lekecha tira ve'oisai savod." Kodesh Baruch Hu, you'll be yare. You'll be yare from the Bashefer. Ve'oisai savod. You'll be Oyver Hashem. And the Rabban over here is very bothered because this pasuk seemingly is extra. I mean, it's obviously that's the whole Torah. Is constantly that you'll do the Avodah. What's the addition of this pasuk? Rabban has many mahalchim. At the end of the Rabban, in a long mahalach, he says a tremendous yisayit. And Emma says the yisayit is an entire siman in Shulchan Aruch, siman Reish Lamed Aleph. The siman is Shekol Masechel Shem Shemayim. And this is really based on the pasuk of Bechol Drachecha Da'ev, the pasuk that Shlomo HaMelech said over, that a person, he can eat. There's one chelik of the Torah, and really you'll see this recurring theme in a few places here, I'll show in a moment, that a person can be Oyver Hashem, he can do the mitzvahs, he can do what it says in the Torah, but there's a separate level, another level of as Hashem Elekecha Sira, Voisei Tavon, being an Eved Hashem. It explains over there that an Eved Hashem is somebody, he sleeps leman, the master, he eats leman the master. When he sleeps now, he sleeps in order to have koyach, to do mais and toivim and mitzvahs and learning. He eats in order to have koyach. It's a different avoid. It's a person who can be yoimam v'layla and eved Hashem. That's how he explains the pasuk. As Hashem elokecha tira v'oisei tavod. So to bring out the story, bring out the pshat, when I was a bacher, I used to play American football. This is a little bit different than what the English play. Right? We don't play with the feet. We play with the hands. And it was a little bit aggressive. Aggressive sport. I played, I was a bacher in Eretz Yisrael. And one of the excursions over there, I broke my arm. I broke my arm, or it was broken for me. It was a little bit, it was very, very, extreme. They played a little bit rough. Right? It was a little bit rough. So I had a chavrusa. Who, when I came back with the broken arm, and people were talking about it, because it got a little bit rough. I said, it's too rough. So my chavrusa told me that, he was like older chavrusa, you know, everybody had an older chavrusa. He says, this is barbaric. And, you know, this is, why don't you ask somebody great if you should continue playing with this? So we went to Shlomo Zalman. Went to Shlomo Zalman. It was the only time in my life ever that I saw him twice, but it's the only time ever I spoke to Shlomo Zalman. It was about 2 months before he was nifter, 3 months before he was nifter. I always say to myself, it's probably the last American bacher that ever got in there. Anybody got in there? So I went to Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman, he looked at my hand, and I was broken at the time. So I'll never forget, it's my tefillin arm. Every time I pick up my hand, I put on my tefillin, I remember the story. He picks up my hand, and he says, no. So my chavrusa starts explaining to him the game of football. Yeah, the smartest man in the world. Yeah, so he says, menem the kador. Meshik the kador. I don't even know what the word football. You know, meshik the kador. And then I have to explain it to the English also. Meshik the kador. Yenem's life. You know, the other guys are. Shlomo Zalman is looking at us. And there's a shlug zachen. And now this. Yeah. So Shlomo Zalman, the smartest man in the world. the man that wrote the Sefer Me'ora Eish at the age of 28, the Sefer on Chashmal and electricity, where you see in that Sefer Ruach HaKodesh Kaputo. Things that will be lost in Lavai, that Ruach HaMoizer saw the Sefer, and he said, this year, these one day, is going to lead Klal Yisrael. Smart as man, but he doesn't understand the game of football. So now I have to get involved. I know about three words in Hebrew at this point in my life. Vaygoymer Shvaga El Shleim Azalman. Lech Lecha. So I'm trying, I'm working. So, Lechim Dakador, Vaymer, Lech Lecha, Rotzim, Rotzim, Meyer, Meyer. And finally, I'm on. So Shleim Azalman takes the hand as if to say, as Domain, you know, I've been the smartest man in the world. Domain says, ich verstehe mich football. Domain says, ich verstehe mich football. I don't know if he spoke in Hebrew or English, but what I can't understand is, we can't decide, how can it be that one Yid is running enough under the Yid to slug him for a piece of chazus? How can one Yid run after another Yid and hit him for a piece of chazus? So I look at him. When I say this to Bachar, I tell them, take the story with a grain of salt. But, you know, I look at my chavruz, he looks at me, I lost. Right, that's it, the end of the game. Right, so he says, but now I'm going to tell you the site of the Gantz Lebed. That's what Shlomo Zalman said. You should know, the first son that I named after a God of Israel was my son Shlomo Zalman. Because I got him that the Ramayisha, the Shirim, I always talk about Ramayisha. Ramayisha is my Rebbe. I'm a Talmud of the Igris Ramayisha. That's what Shlomo Zalman is, a Yid that I live with every moment of my life because of this. He took out a Shulchan Aruch from the shelf, opened up the Shulchan Aruch, and he said, and he spoke in English, like a three-word English. My Hebrew is English. He says, now I tell you, Yisoyed for Gantz Lebin. What's Yisoyed for Gantz Lebin? He opens up Siman Reish Lamed Aleph. She'kol Masecha L'Shem Shemayim. And he says, you can eat, you can drink, you can have fun. Also, lots of Simcha. Lots of Simcha. He says, you can eat L'Shem Shemayim. You can essen, you can drink, you can schluff in L'Shem Shemayim. You can mavakel L'Shem Shemayim. You shmooze, you need a break. He says, there's one thing you can't do L'Shem Shemayim. Metonish kinton can avedas L'Shem Shemayim. You can't do an aveda L'Shem Shemayim. You can't shlug enoch a yid L'Shem Shemayim. You can't talk L'Shem Hara L'Shem Shemayim. You can't hurt somebody L'Shem Shemayim. But this is the site how you live the Gantz Lebed. You need a break. You have a break. And this is the pasuk. As Hashem Elokecha Tira ve'oisei tavoy. A Gantz Lebed for Navoida. You can have a Lebed all day long. Yoyman v'layli, a person can be over Hashem. With sleeping, you can be over Hashem. With drinking, you can... Imagine, you explain this to a guy. We do... Yoyman v'layli, we're avodim. Yoyman v'layli. Sometimes it's in mitzvahs. Sometimes it's in meisim tovim. Sometimes it's in eating. Sometimes it's in... Sometimes it's in shmoozing. Sometimes it's in playing. And everything you can do L'Shem Shemayim. A Gantz Lebed for L'Shem Shemayim.
You can have a break.
What?
You can have a break.
You can have a break. You can have a break.
B'Shem Shimon Bo.
Now, myself, I'd be remiss. Stomach. Dalam comes out to see me. I told you, I don't know. It said on the parasha sheet that Dalam comes from stomach. They want to hear a little halacha. Right, so I think in the last 10 minutes we'll say something halacha from the parasha. And we'll find a lot, I'm sure, over here. So I have a few inyanim over here at the parasha. I have over here the inyan vasisa yashiv atoiv. This is a tremendous yisayit again. Al derech we're speaking about from the Ramban. The Ramban, if you know from the Ramban in Parshas Kedoshim, which everybody knows, that the Ramban says, what does it say in Kedoshim to you? What's Kedoshim to you? Don't be an evil vishis atoida. Don't be a person that he's trying as hard as he can within the confines of the Torah. I could do this, I could eat a lot of steak, and I could eat a lot of this, you could become a nevel b'shus ha-Torah. But everybody knows, that's the Ramban in Parshas Kedoshim, where the Ramban explains that the Torah could not explicitly say all of the, what's the Ratzon Hashem. The Torah gives you the gist, they tell you what's Aser, and the obvious desire of Hashem, the obvious Ratzon Hashem, is that you shouldn't become Baal Taiva. That's obvious what the Torah's desires. And the Torah was coiled in one sentence, don't be a nevel b'shus ha-Torah, be a kaddish. That I think everyone knows. Over here, the Ramban, if you look good in the Ramban, in the pasuk over here, v'asisa yosher v'atoiv b'enei Hashem, the Ramban over here is saying the same idea, ben adam l'mak l'chaveiroi. What he says over there, ben adam l'makam, over here in the pasuk v'asisa yosher v'atoiv, he says ben adam l'chaveiroi. He says the Torah cannot go out of its way and tell you every single thing and tell you that if there's a person who is selling an apartment and you live right next door to him, so then Avada, you should try and sell it to that person. Or the Torah couldn't tell you in every single sentence and say, if you have a parking spot, don't take up two parking spots. Only take up one parking spot. The Torah couldn't koilo every single possible situation that's going to come up. So they were koilo in one sense. Rabban says it explicit over here. They were koilo all these say that ben Adam l'chavei, right? In one sentence, vasisa hayasher v'atoyim. Be glad. Be erlich. And over here, from here, we learn out how a person has to act in an erlich manner. Even if it's not explicit in the Torah, a lot of times someone will call me up with a shayla. Talking about Rosh Hashanah, he'll call me up with a shayla about taxes, and a shayla about this, and about this, a little bit lying, and a little bit this. You know, I don't like saying the word lying, a little bit not telling the truth, and all different things. So I'll tell him like this, I'll tell him, look, I don't know, I just know one thing. Rosh Hashanah definitely wouldn't have done it. Rosh Hashanah, we hear the name, Yankov Kamenetsky, Emesley Yankov Kamenetsky wouldn't have done it. Yeah. So if he answers me back, Ich bin Rosh Yankov, I tell him you never will be. But the idea, the Torah was koilel over here, Vasisa Yashav HaToyv. Now, I'll tell you just one shiloh that I just had. Very interesting. There are places where the Torah actually made these, where the Chazal, where the Rabbanim came along and saw the necessity to codify it and make it into a law. Which is, everyone knows, Bar Mitzvah is one example. Bar Mitzvah is an example that if you have a person who lives next door to a plot that you're selling, so you have to give him the first rights to buy, etc. It's just interesting. I just had an interesting shayla. I'll just tell the Oilam that there was somebody in Eretz Yisrael who was selling downstairs a machsan. Machsan in Eretz Yisrael, like
a storage.
So it's very interesting shayla, because there was a person downstairs that owned the machsan, one of the other tenants, also owned the machsan, one of the other landowners, he owned the machsan. So he claimed Bar Mitzvah. So look, I'm right next door to that. And it really, in Seichel, that's really the whole attitude of Bar Mitzvah, probably, right? Because he could just knock down the machsan and make himself one big storage place, which seemingly makes him the Bar Mitzvah. All right. But the interesting thing is that the land laws in Eretz Yisrael have a concept that if the floor, the entire building, each and every apartment is owned by the landowner. But the floor, the ground of the apartment building, is owned equally by every one of the tenants. That means that everybody in the building, let's say there's 20 apartments in the building, so there's 1/20th on the ground that's owned by each and every person. He owns a 20th, he owns a 20th, he owns a 20th. Right? So who's the Bar Mitzvah here? What do you mean Bar Mitzvah? You have a Bar Mitzvah because you have an apartment right next to this one. You have a machsan right next to this machsan. Right? I'm also a Bar Mitzvah. I'm just as much as a Bar Mitzvah because I own the floor. Or you say he's a double Bar Mitzvah. Right? You say he's a double Bar Mitzvah. So this is a Shiloh. I just wanted to show the Oilips. One of the Shiloh's emphasis is that it's not a Pasha the Shiloh at all. It's not a Pasha the Shiloh at all. I would think that in Erlichkeit, again, Vasisa Yashav HaToyv is mechayiv us to go above and beyond. Vasisa Yashav HaToyv doesn't make me have to lose anything. If I can get a better price, then I'm not mechayiv to get a worse price because of Vasisa Yashav HaToyv. But in this case, you know, it could be that the Vasisa Yashav HaToyv says, look, here's a yid that you have to take into consideration. Here's a yid that if he knocks through, he has a massive storage. It definitely makes more of a difference to him. You, it's true, you get more room, and everybody wants more room. But for him, the mile is even more. That's a shayla. The shayla is if it goes into chazal. That's one Indian of halacha that comes out of the parsha. The other Indian, of course, is tefillin. Of course, it's tefillin. And this one I'll make ksas a little bit of a visual. These are tefillin. Those that don't know. These are tefillin. Okay. I want to just show some interesting two or three shaylas, as long as the time allows us, of shaylas that come up in Pshatim Le'ois, Le'idecha V'tos Le'fayis Bein Le'necha. Interesting shaylas that I'm not sure how known they are. Most people know that the corners, they have to be spitz until that if you touch them, mamish, the finger should fall off. Okay? That misses, they don't have to be. It doesn't say anywhere that they have to be spitzy, that the corners have to be spitzy. They can't look around. They can't look around. But the Maisa, spitzy, they don't have to be. And the Emes says, I'm looking at my tefillin, they're not spitzy. They're not spitzy. They don't have to be spitzy. They don't have to come to a point. They just have... The Iker place, which people don't know about, interestingly enough, is the Ribua, the Gemara Menachah says, the Shulchan Aruch brings down in Simin Lama Beis, Sif Mem, this is the Halacha Moshe Sinai says that you have to have a Ribua, a square, in the Tefiris, which, okay, everybody, B'derek Kal has, and you have to have a square in this area over here also, the area known as the Tituda. The Torah is not a square. Rabbi said, where's the bottom of your square in your titura? This is one part, this is one part, this is one part. Right? And this is the other part of your titura. The back here is the mavarta.
Before the mavarta.
That means this is the titura. Right? So that means that, I don't know how many people realize this, your square, I'm trying to show it to everybody, can see over here, your square has to be a perfect square on the bottom, which means that you have to take a credit card, go from this side to this side, and make sure it reaches. Right? Sometimes it can have like an arrow. When you point an arrow in a tiny, tiny slant, so it makes a tremendous difference when it goes that way. Here also, you have this. This is your square of your titura. This part has to be straight. If you have it a little bit up, it's something that's the easiest thing in the tefillin to fix. Nobody should get nervous if he has this problem. But if he has this problem, he has a problem in his ribua. And it's a real problem. It's not a chumra. It means he doesn't have a perfect square. I've noticed recently, in the last years, that when people bring me their tefillin, I've noticed this problem. That's why I'm mentioning it. Right? Again, don't you get nervous, because it's the easiest problem in the tefillin to fix. All you have to do is, you need about the machir, just to give a little shaves of chavah here, a little bit over there, and it has to be straight. I think everybody understands what I'm saying. It's interesting. It's clear, yeah? Clear? Okay, that's one thing. Another thing I've been noticing recently in the years in tefillin, again, just little interesting problems that come up, which are major problems, but very, very easily to fix, is charitzim mitzuyofim. Now, there's a whole shayla. If everyone knows, you have four batim over here, four parts of in the tefillin shel roish. And there's a whole shayla, are they allowed to be glued? Are they not allowed to be glued? There's some sefer held, maybe, yeah, Mishapur says maybe not, Chayodim says l'chatchila not. So most batim machim, they try to do it just up to halfway to glue it, because otherwise it's going to spread out. Maisa, in recent years I've been noticing that a lot of times when people bring me the tefillin, and they paint over the tefillin, so the chritzim, which have to be shown, the charetz, the engraved part, has to be corresponding to the actual bias. Which, the ma'isa, a lot of times when people show me, it's, again, don't try this on your own. But if you're skilled, then you can take a razor blade. Don't try this on your own, right? Especially you're getting new tefillin, don't touch your tefillin with a razor blade. But when you take the razor and you go through, so if it goes through, and it goes, if it doesn't go through, so now you know what happened, the engraved that they show is not the same as really where the actual batim is. And I've noticed in the last few years that a lot of batim machar are making what's called charitzim mizuyofim. Now, to fix this is very, very easy. All you have to do, the second the person chops it, he fixes it on the spot. That's what he does. By taking the razor and finding the real place, he just fixed it. And that's really now the actual place that's engraved, it becomes the actual makim of the bias. It's important to know this, Rabbi said, because I've noticed in the last few years, I'm not going to say if I noticed an English tefillin or an American tefillin, but I've noticed this issue, and it's also very important. Even if it's glued, we're makel akoponim glued, right? But akoponim has to be that the charetz on top corresponds to the bias underneath. Okay. Again,
should we use a floss to make
you it? Shouldn't try it. I think if anybody's suffering about this, I tell you the truth is, most people that try it, they wind up getting nervous right away. It's glued to the top, because you can't do it. It takes a certain chachma how to do it. I myself don't know how to do it. I have somebody who does it for me, he shows me, but he shows me right away. I get too nervous when you have parshas inside and this. I get a little bit too nervous to go and start playing around there with floss. Floss your teeth, nish the tefillin. I don't know. I get very nervous about that. I want to end with one thing also. Very interesting. The Velt says, everyone says, when it comes to checking tefillin, which is really shulchan, that really technically our tefillin you don't have to check. Our tefillin, technically you don't have to check. Which, there is definitely a certain emes to that. But because we have a chazakah, and as long as you keep your tefillin properly, you don't keep it in the sun, you don't keep your tefillin on the radiator, you don't keep it, etc. So technically it's true. Now, if a person isn't careful with his tefillin, he has to check them every day. But if he is careful with his tefillin, so then technically, I just thought, interesting thing, the Velt says it with such conviction. And Adrabah, it's better not to open up your tefillin because it ruins the parashas and it ruins the batim. And the world says it with conviction. She does not. To me, I don't know anything from tefillin. I just know the halacha. So I asked about. I asked about 40 batim machers, and I didn't have that many. But every time I met a batim macher or a cipher, I asked them the question. And I dafka asked the ones that are not Isaac in Hagah because they have an agia. I told him, "Is it true?" He said, "Any batim that you open." That's going to be destroyed because you open it. It says not worth the batim. It can't be. So I asked him, and what about the parshias? So tell me, it's true. Lagabe parshias, there is a richtigkeit that the more you open it, the more you open it up, etc. And you open yourself up. You're vulnerable a bit, right? You're opening yourself up to problems. He said to me, but it's a mistake. Because I'm not saying you should check your tefillin maybe once in 7 years. No, that's a mezuzah. That's a mezuzah twice in 7 years. But I'm just saying the concept that people live by, don't check your tefillin ever. He told me it's a mistake. You know why? Because letters, after a while, fade. In the times of Chazal, they made them with soot. Now, so you're going to say, fine, I still have a chazakah. You do. It's true. But you don't realize you could save yourself. Because if a letter fades, you could still fix up the letter before it fades legamre. Once it fades legamre, now you're done. You can't fix it because now it'll be shalei kesidron. So you don't realize that whole entire hashkafa, that attitude of, you know what, I'm not checking my tefillin. You know why? Because it's just going to ruin my parashas. So if it's going to ruin your batim, you have terrible batim. And if it's going to ruin your parashas, it's pum fakert. All it can do is it can help you in your parashas that you could save it before. Now, I'm not saying, I don't want it to start like a sanaya zaf, everyone has to check their tefillin, you know. But, you know, once in 7 years, I don't think is a reason not to. And also, who could say that they were careful every single day with the tefillin from the sun and from the heat and from the this and that? You know, it's not so simple that a person should be saymich on this. Right? Kapanim, we should all be saymich to the brachas that we have in Parshas Veschanan. And now I have mamash, my whole neshama is a chelik of Torah way. Right? That's it. Now it's official. I mean, maybe next time they'll tell me what topic. But even if not, you see, we also have a good time. Good job, somebody.